Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, C-Man.
What up, yo? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice One.
This your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
It's the Murder Master Music Show. Hip-hop is dead, but we don't resurrect it. You follow what lame stream says, but here it gets rejected. If you wearing tight jeans, don't expect to get respected. I'm from a time where wearing black was always on your checklist. From a time where faggots get checked if they reckless. From a time where if you got too much shine, we snatch your necklace. This real shit here, Illuminati, fuck the industry. We represent the street and they respect our street ministries. Take no shorts and cut the middleman, literally. This hip-hop savior, our birth scenes like nativity. This a place where no one sells out for relevability. And the masses can get a chance to explore more creativity. You gotta be kidding me. If you call that hip-hop, niggas with hot shades and fluorescent flip-flop. We killin' Big Brother, cause we know he watched. You don't like what I'm doing, then you can suck mine. Oh, and you don't
stop. It's the Murder Master Music Show. 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 It's the Murder Master Music Show.
Episode 252, is that what it is?
Yeah.
We actually made it past the 25 episode mark by 177, some shit like that. 277, I don't know. Whatever the fuck, my math ain't good tonight. But it has to be because tonight's one of those shows we really got to pay attention. We got Paradise Grave, the X-Clan. It's almost literally been 25 years. I think in May of 1990, when you guys released your debut album. I'm gonna welcome on the show right now, Paradise Gray. How you doing, Paradise Gray?
Hey, everything's good. What's up, peace?
Hey, what's going on?
Huge honor to have
you
on the show. Not only are we gonna talk about hip hop and where hip hop needs to go and where things went wrong, but we also want to talk about the Universal Hip Hop Museum, which we've actually did a roundtable back in January, I believe, and we had a lot of you guys on the phone. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? What's going on with the Universal Hip Hop Museum right now? And what
oh,
is
Oh man,
your
we
role
just had. Well, first of all, I'm the chief curator of the Universal Hip Hop Museum, and I'd like to say peace to our CEO, Rocky, and also like to say peace to Curtis Blow, Africa Bambaataa, Grandmaster Melly Mel, Grand with the Theodore, Cutman LG, and MC Sha-Rock, Busy B, and all the other pioneers and legends that are involved in the process. Big special thanks to Dr. Tangi Gilliam, and also to Editor-in-Chief Cynthia Horner for all the hard work that they're putting in also. After those shout-outs,
yeah,
I'd like to say we just did a great event at the Barclays Center on Saturday in the Billboard Room. And, man, it was packed to capacity. You know, a Brooklyn Nets was in the next room playing basketball. It was really hot.
Wow.
We had a lot of memorabilia hanging around the room, a lot of legendary photos, great art from Ernie Panicioli, and also my boy Aston, my boy Bob Fryer from Pittsburgh, also some great stuff from Andre Leroy Davis, who did the Last Word cartoons in the. It was off the hook, bananas, and bottle was in the house. It was ridiculous. And it's just one of the first steps in raising funds to build this museum. Because as the brothers used to say on the subway in New York, we are not state or federally funded, so we just come to the people every single day. But this is the people's museum, and it needs to be funded by the people.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And you can you can do so. Right now, you guys got the website, actually. You also got the Kickstarter page.
Yes, sir.
Where you guys can donate whatever you want. No donation is too small. Whatever you can give, make sure to hit up the website. What is your website again, Paradise?
We got the UHHM. You could hang on 1 second. Let me. I'll give them all the particulars and the web links and all that as we go on with the show.
Okay.
You know, want to be perfectly accurate when I get that info out.
Most definitely, most definitely. But yeah, this is huge. This is real huge. You gotta, you know what I'm saying, support this, because you know, without the preservation of hip hop, it's just gonna be something that's forgotten. Because I tell you what's happening right now, and you see it, Paradise. My co-host Meg J sees it, and a lot of other people that like real hip hop see it. You got a lot of people right now destroying the building blocks and the foundation of hip-hop that cats like yourself built and people before you. You know what I'm saying? I see people just totally shitting all over hip-hop right now. How do we stop this, and where did shit go wrong from your perspective?
I don't think anybody's really shitting on hip-hop, but I think it's the rap industrial industry that's got everything all messed up. Hip-hop is perfectly healthy around the world. You know, the Universal Zulu Nation is still doing their thing. There are numerous organizations all over the world doing incredible work when it comes to hip-hop as a culture. But rap as a music is a different thing. You know, the labels and the record companies and even internet companies now are not independent. You know, they're all owned by the same conglomerate that basically all they care about is profits, you know. And hip-hop as a culture is people over profits. But the rap industrial complex, they don't care about people at all. They don't care about culture. All they care about is that bottom line. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, ain't nothing wrong with making money. You know what I'm saying? You know, Curtis Blow was one of the people who taught us how to make money in hip-hop. He was the first one to have a major label record deal. Also the first one to have a gold record. And also the first one to have a endorsement deal with a major corporation, which was Sprite. But he never sold his soul to sell soul music. You know what I'm saying? He kept it funky.
Yeah.
He kept it legitimate. He kept it street. And he didn't get so popped that he forgot about, you know, the culture of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? And that's the model that we should all follow.
Right. Because I think what's good for the for us having a hip-hop museum is more or less for the people, too, that say hip-hop is not a culture and it's just a genre. Because I would beg to differ. I would say hip-hop is a total culture. And you don't have to be born and raised in hip-hop to understand that it's a culture. But for people that don't know the hip-hop culture, you guys putting this museum together, it's going to do great things. You know what I'm saying? It's something for people to take their families to and their kids. Because my kids don't understand my music, but if I take them to something like this, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I help them understand it a little more, and we can relive our past moments at the same time, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but if you think about it, you know what I'm saying? Our parents didn't really understand our music either.
Exactly.
You know, I was very fortunate to have a mother that understood and supported me. But, you know, hip-hop, ain't nothing different now than it always was. It's always been a battle, you know. From the beginning, even a lot of the musical pioneers that we respected big time disrespected hip-hop. They told us that our music wasn't really music, that we were stealing their music, that, you know, sampling wasn't legitimate, that we weren't musicians. They said all kind of things about us. And never forget, you know, C. Dolores Tucker and a bunch of black pastors, you know, taking a bunch of hip-hop vinyl and CDs and putting a pile in the middle of the street and running over it with a bulldozer. You know what I'm saying? So we've always been misunderstood. Hip-hop has always been dangerous and illegal. You know, when you popped open that light pole to plug in your equipment, that was theft of services and breaking and entering. When you do a jam outside, we didn't have no permit to get the DJ in the park. That's illegal, too. It was an illegal gathering. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we broke many rules to create hip-hop.
You know,
that's right. It's illegal to collect rainwater. It was legal to have slaves. Just because something is a law don't mean you got to follow it. And Martin Luther King said if a law is unjust, it's your responsibility to break it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, ain't nothing different in hip-hop than it always was. We had to take what we wanted, take what we needed, and forge our own. Let alone, let's not even talk about graffiti being illegal.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
right,
and breakdancing. We broke dance in the park. We used to walk around with a hat and a bucket and collect money. We didn't pay taxes on that money. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have a permit to collect money on the street either. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't no different. It's the same fight. We got to stand up for what we believe in and keep pushing and keep fighting a good fight.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree. The only thing we got to keep it 100 for people listening. Mainstream hip hop, like you said, media and whatnot, they're blocking substance as much as possible. What I was speaking about earlier, they're letting in a lot of dumbed down music that has to deal with materialism, with swag, and they're blocking out the KRS-Ones, the X-Clans, the Public Enemies, the K-Renos. You know, you guys should have a platform, too. Will this museum be that platform for the conscious rap?
Well, I think it would not only be the platform for conscious rap, but it'll be the platform for all rap. You know,
all
we're
rap.
Not going to do the same thing that they did, and we're going to support young people who make new music, too, and we're going to encourage them to be creative as possible, and we're going to build a bridge between generations, not build a wall between generations. This is not a mausoleum. It's a museum. It's not where hip hop goes to die. It's where hip hop lives. You know what I mean? And we're going to do a better job of educating young people rather than ridiculing them for what they don't know and being angry at them for what they don't know. It's our responsibility. We have been charged to teach them. And we can't be mad at somebody for not knowing what we don't teach.
A lot of times, too, they, you know, a lot of these younger guys, they weren't even born, you know, when albums, you know what I'm saying, like your debut album came out, you know, so all they know is what they know, you know, and,
absolutely.
And something like this is good because, like you said, it's going to be able to teach the people. I'm actually on the website right now checking it out. I want everybody that's listening to go check it out. It's UHHM.org. And they talk about it and everything. You guys actually got a virtual museum. Why don't you tell us about that? I really like that idea.
Well, a virtual museum is all about access. You know what I'm saying? We want everybody from around the world to be able to access this information on their computer, on their cell phone, on their iPad, or whatever device they choose. We're also going to have some incredible 3D things going on where you can visit the parks where hip-hop was born. You can visit the old venues where hip-hop was born. Take virtual tours of parks and hoods, you know, that you only heard about. Where you can see Cedric and Cedar and look around with a Google Cardboard device and like a three-dimensional viewmaster. You know, take a walk with us through these incredible historic places. You know what I mean? So it's going to be wonderful. We're going to not just focus on hip-hop that we know of even, but we're going to also delve into the foundations of hip-hop that are little spoken about. You know, we're going to introduce people to the places where the beats came from. James Brown, George Clinton, Sly and the Family Stone. We're going to introduce them to Joe Tex and Muhammad Ali, and the Last Poets, and the Watts Prophets, and the great punk bands that invited us to come down to the CBGB, share their space when we couldn't go to a club to hear hip-hop. You know, we're going to talk about the Danceteria and the Grill, and the Roxy, the Fun House, you know, the Fever, the Latin Quarters. Tell them all about these historic places like Harlem World, you know, the Ecstasy Garage, you know, and introduce them to names like Grandmaster Flowers and, you know what I mean, Disco King Mario, the Disco Twins, and DJ Hollywood. Introduce them to a whole bunch of pioneers and legends that they never heard about, whose contributions to hip-hop have been incredible, and we couldn't have built it without them.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
definitely,
sir.
Definitely.
You know, and definitely can't forget my man Pete DJ Jones. You know what I'm saying? All of these incredible names and legends that put it down pre-hip-hop, that inspired us and mentored us and taught us about sound systems and how to hook up our music and banging the beats loudly. You know, mixing and blending before Grand Wizard Theodore invented the scratch.
Right.
And that's going
yes,
way
sir.
Back.
I'm excited about it, you know what I'm saying? Because I knew all of these pioneers. You know, I met them personally, and many of them mentored me, and I'll never forget what they did for me as a person and as a man. And that's a big untold story of hip-hop, too. You know what I'm saying? How the men of hip-hop, the DJs, mentored so many and fed so many in our community and taught us how to be entrepreneurs, taught us how to do business. You know, all of that is very important, and nothing that exists today in hip-hop would exist without these lessons.
I'm actually looking at the honorary advisory board members, and it's a hell of a list of people, so many of which we've had on the show. MC Shan, DMC, I mean, there's so many people, KRS-One, Red Alert, Dougie Fresh, Big Daddy Kane. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I noticed you're also going to be adding people from the South. I recently introduced you guys with Fresh Kid Ice, founding member of the 2 Live Crew. Hopefully,
absolutely. Amazing person.
With you guys, because 2 Live Crew, as you know, they fought for the freedom of speech, and they really took it on the chin. Like you said, when they were breaking the records, theirs was always the first one that they were that they was getting broken, you know.
Exactly.
Along
2 Live Crew and
NWA, of course.
Yeah, and Ice-T. Yeah, they were the ones that, you know, really put their neck out and took the brunt of a lot of the beatings that came, you know, in the media. You know what I'm saying? But they were still able to be very successful. I'm glad you brought up the South, because we also, this is the Universal Hip Hop Museum. You know, we're going to document hip-hop as it occurred everywhere. We're going to tell the truth about the West Coast hip-hop and how many incredible pioneers they had out there, not just from breakdancing and electric boogie, but, you know, they had a lot of DJs and, like I said, the Watts Prophets. You know what I'm saying? They had so much incredible contribution to the culture of hip-hop that, you know, it's untold, you know, coming from L.A., coming out of the Bay Area in particular, you know what I'm saying?
And
we want
crazy.
To document that.
No, go ahead.
I said we're going to make sure to document, you know, the whole movement, that proof, and, you know, the great Detroit movements of hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? We're going to really dig into Chicago. We're going to really dig deep in Atlanta and down south, and we want international hip-hop to be represented. We want to know who brought hip-hop to London and to Italy and to, you know, and to many places in Africa and Brazil and Mexico and Puerto Rico. We want to know the Afrika Bambaataas, the Kool Herc's, and the Grandmaster Flashes from every city and every state and every country, so that we have an unprecedented library of knowledge, so that the so-called hip-hop scholars can have something to really study from, because I don't know what people are basing their hip hop scholarship on right now. I don't know what they studied. You know what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of lies out there, a lot of innuendos, and a lot of rumors and legends. We're going to set the record straight with the facts of hip hop from beginning to now.
You got me sold. I mean, you know, if I had it like that, I'd be a huge investor. Because this is definitely something that could benefit a lot of people. I mean, I see kids taking field trips to this place. You know what I mean? Buses lined up in front. I mean, it's going to be a heck of a thing. When are you guys breaking ground for the actual
museum? Well, the ground has already been broke at 149th Street and 3rd Avenue.
Congratulations.
At the old Bronx County Courthouse. The building's already been under construction. But, we're working very hard with the city and the state, and we have some good legislators and some good politicians, actually, that are on our side. You know, we're very thankful for Michael Blake, who is really a spearhead and a leading force in the city for the museum. And, you know, we really, really, we're going to bring a focal point to that community, a place where young people could come. We're going to have community rooms set up. We're going to have computer rooms set up. We're going to have a studio for recording and video editing. And we're going to really engage the entire community in a way with technology that they have never had access to.
And that's what it's all about, man. That's is spreading that knowledge. You know what I mean? And it's that's huge. That's huge for the future generation. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. And for the generations who came before, too, because we're going to set up a platform so that these walk-in libraries called Elders, like Curtis Blow and Bambada and Theodore and Flash, can have access to young people, not just to tell them the stories about what they did, but to help mentor them into the future, just like the original pioneers mentored me into the future.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? You come from a generation, too, where you paid respect to the ones before you. And that's got to – I really appreciate the younger guys who actually do that. There's not many of them, but the ones that do, I really appreciate it, because it's all about preserving, you know what I'm saying, the past. And like you said, building a better future for it, too. We want to see hip hop live on 1,000 years versus –
Absolutely.
Look. 40, 50, 60,
I don't know where I would be. Where would I be in my life without Curtis Blow and Jahlil from Houdini and Jam Master Jay from Run DMC teaching me how to be a rap star? Taught me how to act, how to treat people, how to treat my fans, how to treat people that I do business with. And I'm fortunate that I had Curtis Blow, Jam Master Jay, and Jahlil from Houdini to do that. You know, because everybody wasn't like that. There was a lot of egos running around, a lot of stuff happening. And, you know, they took a special interest in me and really helped me get to the next level. And I respect and appreciate that. Also, this is the 30th anniversary of the club that I ran in New York in 1986. We started March 11th, 1986. Where would I be if it wasn't for Special K, Teddy Ted, and Donald D, the Awesome Two, who took me to Latin Quarters for the first time so that I could be inspired to see a vision and wind up taking over and running the club. And the club wound up being the incubator of the golden era of hip-hop. And I didn't do it on my own. You know, there was a lot of people who sacrificed and put in work for me to be in the positions that I was in my life. And anybody who tell you that they did it all on their own, they're a liar. And those are the people you look out for, you know. If you look at the rap crew back in the day, it wasn't one dude with a big gold chain and everybody else broke. Everybody in the crew was getting paper.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. At all times, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I feel, too, you know what I'm saying? Like, just coming up, man, like, without hip-hop, man, I don't know, you know, where I would really be at. All through the hard times, I've always turned to hip-hop. That's why I was saying earlier, like, with the hip-hop, because I've had people tell me hip-hop is not a culture. It's a genre of music. And I'm like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, how is it not a culture when this is what I live? This is what I, you know what I'm saying? Everything that I do stems from the music of my life. You know what I'm saying? And the music of my
life.
Absolutely. Was the hip-hop music. Not to say that I don't like R&B or I don't like other types of music, but you can't tell a country boy and listen to country music that he not a country boy. That's his, you know what
I'm
saying?
He's not a part of that culture. Exactly.
Yeah, hip-hop
everybody else music could be, you know, bluegrass and all that could be culture. You know, punk, you can't tell me that punk ain't a culture. You can't tell me that reggae isn't a culture. You know, exactly. There's cultures behind these things. And, you know, hip-hop has always been the soundtrack to my life. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Me too. And, you know, me and Prez, we're not too far from
three
age.
Years,
and y'all,
man. I'm 38.
Right there.
I was like six, man, you know. It's it's amazing.
Just think about this. I'm 52 years old, and I've been doing hip-hop since I was 7 years old, growing up in the Bronxdale Projects.
Right there. I mean, you were in the Mecca during the explosion of it all, during the creations of it all. I mean, what was it like as a kid witnessing the beginning stages of hip-hop unfold?
It was amazing. You know, I lived in 1715 Bruckner Boulevard with my cousin, Aaron Superman Davis, the boxer. And we lived on the first floor, and Disco King Mario lived on the second floor. And, you know, the territory that we lived in was the Black Spade territory and the Chuck City crew, which was Mario's crew. You know what I mean? And Mario was mentoring Bam. You know what I'm saying? So we lived not far from Bronx River Projects. And it was amazing time to be a young person in New York. You know, we went from black and white TV to color. We went from 8-track tapes, you know, to vinyl. You know, we got to see the whole thing develop. You know what I'm saying? And it was just amazing, you know, for us to come from the amount of poverty that was surrounding us to create a multi-billion-dollar industry and a culture that's more successful at bringing diverse people from different cultures, religions, and backgrounds together than any religion, any politician, or any government. Nothing brings people together like hip-hop.
I strongly agree. I've said that for years. I've never seen any genre of music, anything, bring more people together. Just what you said, man. I mean, it's as real as it gets, you know. And,
right,
and
I'd like to say that it didn't happen in a vacuum either. I would really like to say that I give major props to Afrika Bambaataa for being the driving force behind that unity, you know, behind that unifying force, and to define hip-hop not just in the elements, but also as peace, love, unity, and having fun. And who doesn't want that in their life?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody wants to be angry and stressful all the time, you know. You gotta have a balance between the chaos and the madness. You gotta have some fun once in a while. Otherwise, you're
gonna Scarface, yeah. Even Scarface took bubble baths. Scarface the gangster.
Right.
You know, definitely.
You know, you can't just be a thug 24/7 or whatever you strive to be. You gotta relax.
Well, these cyber thugs
gonna burst. Your blood pressure gonna go up.
that's what they
say. But we saw how all them thugs in the industry responded when Suge Knight showed up on them.
Right.
It wasn't as tough as
they
was professed to be. Yeah, they did. Yeah, because when you keep playing like you a shark and the sharks feed on a fish, sooner or later it's going to cause a frenzy of blood in the water that's going to attract the killer whale. And then you're going to have to really prove how much of a thug and how much of a shark you really are.
Yeah.
Sure ain't lying.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, but there's room for everybody.
We got a caller right now on the line from Vegas, 702, I believe. What's going on, Vegas? Who is this?
Hi, this is Rainey. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Rainey?
What's up? Thanks for calling.
Peace.
You're welcome. How cute. She said, you're welcome. How cute. This baby in the building. We in Vegas, y'all. What's going on out here?
We got Paradise Gray on the line. We're talking about the Universal Hip Hop Museum, which you can actually check out right now, uhhm.org. And there's actually a virtual reality museum, too, you can check out as well. You can also donate to the Kickstarter page. Go to kickstarter.com/projects/UHH Museum/Universal Hip Hop and donate $1, $5, whatever, you know. So, I mean that's what it is. That's what we're on right now. But you got any questions you want to ask Paradise?
Yeah, No, we just jumped off, so we don't even really know the conversation. But
can I donate off my link card, though?
No, you can take your link card and you can go buy some Twinkies and some Cheetos and also make sure to get you a new phone because yours just stopped working. Okay, she's gone. But back to the seriousness of this. No, seriously, people, donate to that Kickstarter page. Make sure you go to uhhm.org. You know what I'm saying? They want to raise a goal so they can have the proper funding to get this done. So, you know, we got this, you know, wonderful place, like Max said, where we could take our children, your grandchildren, you know, whoever. So, but I want to take a break real quick, Paradise. We got this song I uploaded. It's called Culture United. Why don't you tell us about this song?
Oh, man, that's my man, Grand Verbalizer, Funkin' Lesson, Brother Jay, rocking with one of Bob Marley's sons, Damian Marley, Junior Gong. It's incredible, and it speaks to hip-hop uniting cultures across waters, across seas, and across space, time, and religion. Check it.
Just the connection. All right, we'll be right back with Paradise Gray. Don't go nowhere. Hit the line, 714-409-0548. And be prepared to ask serious questions. No bullshit. We'll be right back with Paradise Gray.
Yes. Yes. You are now tuned in to the Conscious Power. Culture Unite. Junior Gong. Grand Verb. Return from Mecca. Roots and culture, justice born, raise up your lighters. Spark it up for the ancestors, spark it up for the freedom fighters that hold it down and protect the righteous. Spark it up for the activists who stand strong in the struggle till the beast is just. Sing a song to a jig, man, tan. Sing a song to a jig for the man. You hop and skip through hoops for the man. Sow your ass before you freeze your land. So many struggle with the temp of the bubble. Broke food turn double and the double turns trouble. So many fams just cover to a humble and the hustle went wrong and the hoods lose muscle. Give thanks for roots and culture, a true and living soldier. Don't be that wanted poster. Zombie mind is fresh meat for the vulture.
Walk like you're chosen.
Selassie and Gandhi.
Walk like you're chosen.
Like Grand Verb and Marley. Culture United, divided we fall. Culture United, we must stand tall. Culture United, freedom for all. Culture United, love of a war.
Down.
seriously. It's like I get the zone.
That's
some stuff.
Where he at? Where's Ronnie at?
That's some substance.
I want to go meet him down there. Where?
You know
where? To the jail?
So it's,
yeah, yeah.
That's pure substance. Pure substance. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm talking about. What about Brother Jay? Are you guys working on anything?
No, we're not working on anything right now, but we are traveling around the country, you know, with our anniversary, the 25th anniversary of X-Clans, to the East Blackwoods, and coming up Exodus now. Actually, on Tuesday of this coming up, we're going to be at SOB's in New York with Wise Intelligent from the Poor Righteous Teachers and Sadat X from Brand Nubian celebrating that anniversary. So if you're in the New York area, you know, come on down and see some incredible golden era conscious hip hop like no other. And, you know, Brother Jay and Wise Intelligence, that these brothers, they still at the top of the lyrical game. You know what I'm saying? Whether or not they get that respect from radio or these punk radio, you know, record companies don't matter. We know what the real is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And,
yes,
and that's amazing. A quarter century has passed. Since I remember seeing that. I remember seeing the videos, you know, back when they had Rap City, when it was
mm-hmm.
really popping back in the day. And here you guys are now, a quarter century later, you know what I'm saying, and to still be doing shows, that's got to be amazing, man.
It is.
You know, what's it like? I mean, take us through it, you know what I'm saying? What's it like to be able to do shows
now,
these years later?
I think it's better than it was back then. You know, you don't have the pressure of chasing women. You know what I'm saying? You don't have all the people trying to throw all these drugs at you. You know, you can go into a town. You can chill. You don't need super security anymore. You know, you can really meet the people. You could talk about, you know, the things behind the lyrics. You know, the movement behind the music. You know, you can spend more time actually focusing on the reason why X-Clan made the music. Because we made the music after the death of Yusef Hawkins in New York, the death of Eleanor Bumpus after the police shot her twice with a shotgun for not paying her rent. You know, the Central Park Five, the Son of Sam. These are the things that threw into the pot to create X-Clan with. You know, in Red, Black, and Green, the RBG is forever. You know, and nowadays, you know, we got people throwing their hands up saying, don't shoot. You know, we got you know, Eric Garner's situation. You know, we got so many situations that are similar to what was going on at the time when we created To the East Blackwood and Exodus that it's not even funny. And just like the timelessness of the words of Dr. King or Malcolm X, so true to the timeless words of X-Clan, Public Enemy, Poor Righteous Teachers, you know, KRS-One, stand up to that truth. And on that note of conscious hip-hop and music, I say rest in peace to our brother, our Zulu brother, Fife Dawg from
yeah.
A Tribe Called Quest. May you
life,
rest
man.
In eternal peace. You know what I mean? Great brother, you know, with a great personality, you know, a very knowledgeable brother about sports and many other subjects. You know, we'll miss him forever. We love you, Fife Dawg.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
I was saying
yeah,
earlier,
every year
we're with Professor X too, man. He was the shit,
and
man.
Sugar Shaft.
Yeah, you know.
You know? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll put it out there for us, man. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's why I'm glad to tell my – I got a 17-year-old son, and I get to tell – you know what I'm saying? Like, because he already knows the songs because I've been listening to them since before he was even thought of, before I even knew I was going to have a kid. A lot of this shit that I'm still listening to, I was pumping heavy. So it's refreshing to be able to show him – the things that y'all did, man, especially when y'all still making music, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is 25th anniversary. Y'all was the ones telling us, to the east, my brother, to the east, my brother, to the east, my brother, to the east. Vainglorious, all that shit, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's
do you
right.
think that, like, at the time when you guys came out and then the explosion of, like, what they want to call it, gangster rap, do you think that kind of slowed some of the conscious rap, or was it just...
No, the conscious rap was the gangster rap. You know, if you look back in it, if you type the word X-Clan and gangster rap, you'll come up with around 12 compilation albums from 1989 to 1992 that had NWA and X-Clan on the same album. And if you really understood, you know, the intent of the Ghetto Boys and the intent of the NWA, they were a West Coast and a South version of Public Enemy and X-Clan. They talked about police brutality and the struggle for humanity that young black people were going through at the time. You know, and it was only Jerry Heller and bastards like him that perverted the message and leaned more toward misogyny. You know, that's what defined gangster rap over conscious music more to me. Was
Right. So like them outside, you think like the outside cats came in and took what they was doing and couldn't link it all together, tried to categorize you guys, so to speak.
Paradise's call dropped. Hopefully you'll call back in. Hit the line,
like
Paradise.
Another group that was dope as hell, but they don't get no props
right now.
There's another group is Arrested Development. Remember when they came out?
Absolutely, my boy speaks.
Them dudes was dope from any level.
Any women.
Yeah, even though they weren't on like gang music, but they was real shit. Like if you really that first album they came out with, they might even went like 3 times platinum with it. But they had Tennessee and Mr. Wendell and all them songs. That whole album talked about everything that's going on still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't trying to be labeled. They were just making music,
yeah,
the way they like to make it. And the shit
that's
was
what
dope.
Defines the golden era. You know what I mean? You could be you. You could talk about whatever you wanted to talk about. You know what I'm saying? As long as your beats was dope and your lyrics had that flow, you know, people didn't pigeonhole you and put you in a box. They didn't want everybody to talk about the same shit and be the same shit.
Yeah.
Well, now you was talking about. Things started to go awry. You said something about Jerry Heller. Now, we've had Jerry on the show a few times. What do you think? Do you think he contributed to the decline somehow?
Him linking up with Eazy-E is what became the downfall of NWA, period. It started with that backstabbing shit, that sneaky shit, stealing the money, you know what I'm saying, shady business that chased Ice Cube away. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yep. Unfortunately, Easy is not here to say anything. You know, it's hard to believe it's been 20 years since he passed. Did you get to tour with them at all? Did you get to meet Easy-E?
I met Easy a couple of times, but I never really vibed with him real deep. I had more of a relationship with Ice Cube. You know, more of a relationship with Scarface down south and the Ghetto Boys, you know? But
yeah,
I never really got to, spend that much time, you know, with NWA. I really would have loved to, though. I really loved that group. I respected them. And I had a different take on them than a lot of people did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was here in NWA, too. But see, us as consumers and just being fans growing up, like, I think it was the golden era, too, because you had, like you said, everybody had their different shit. It was like we had a cat, you know, like, if you want to hear the pimp shit, you can go over here. If you want to hear this, you can hear that. You know what I'm saying? Nowadays, it seems like everybody is chasing whoever's the hottest, and we're going to make our shit sound like his and then try to take it above. Like, the creativity, to me, is lost. And a lot of the, as far as the mainstream hip-hop go, because me and Prez do this show, we've been hearing great music for, like, the last 3-4 years, because we still fuck with the underground.
It's out there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been hearing a lot of good music. Like, people keep saying it ain't no good music.
That's where it is. It is.
I've been hearing it.
And that's why I tell people hip-hop and rap is very healthy. You know what I mean? It's like, just think about hip-hop in terms of jazz music. Would you turn on a station that's playing Kenny G 24/7 and think you're going to get the best out of jazz world there? You're not going to get Miles Davis. You're not going to get Pharoah Sanders. You know, you're not going to get Rahsaan Roland Kirk. A lot of people never even heard of him. You know what I'm saying? But he was a blind man. He played four instruments simultaneously. You know what
yeah,
I'm
see,
saying? I mean, ridiculous shit. Exactly.
Yeah, that's like,
you know, so you got to dig in the crates for hip-hop.
Yeah. That's like what the media does, like with our shows. A lot of the press that we get is over some bullshit. But when we do historical things, like we do these massive round tables where you got legends that might not have even spoken to each other in 25 years or more together on the line, and these sites don't even give a shit. You know what
not
I mean?
Interested.
It's like, yeah, not interested.
Nobody gets spit on
or
shit on. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, they want
yeah,
somebody
they
to get
hear,
punched in the mouth, and then everybody want to talk
truth
about
it. And substance and reality, and you know, like we had you know who was it?
We did a Rap-A-Lot round table, Fred.
Yeah, you was talking about Rap-A-Lot. We did a Rap-A-Lot round table with about 15 or 16 guys from Rap-A-Lot, and that
That's
was an
dope.
Amazing thing. You know what I mean? And the reunion shows and different things of that nature. And that's what we're going to continue to do, the hip-hop museum show that we do with you guys. I mean, we had the inventor of the scratch, Theodore. We had the first female MC. We so many people. You know, and to me, that's dope. You know, that's what I like the most, you know, rather than interviewing somebody on some controversial shit or something like that. You know, I don't find that stuff interesting, you know.
Me
but,
neither.
You know, it's all about the music, and I want to. I know it's a little bit later on the East Coast, but I want to thank you for calling in tonight. I want to make sure we give the people the information one more time, because it's very important that they donate. They try to help this cause because
absolutely
it's something that you need. So please go to uhhm.org. It's a Universal Hip Hop Museum. As soon as you get there, I mean, it's a very interactive website, first of all. As soon as you get there, first thing that pops up is a Kickstarter page. Click on it, like I said, even if it's $1, $5, $10, $100, whatever you can do, anything's going to help this. And you know,
absolutely.
Like we said, we want this place to be around for decades. You know,
right, right.
You know,
and anybody that's a rapper, I don't care if you're an underground rapper or you made records or you popular, you a legend or a pioneer, you need to hit up our CEO, Rocky, and immediately join us in this effort of preserving our culture for the future so that we could tell our own stories from our own mouths and build our own institutions in our communities. This is extremely important. You know, we can't sit back and bitch and moan and whine all the time about what we don't have when we could build our own. And this is an example, a living example of the independent spirit and the entrepreneur spirit of hip hop. Stand up for your own, and this belongs to you, by the people, for the people. Let's make it happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Chris, we gotta give a shout out to Clientele too, man, from the World Class Record Crew.
Oh,
man, he always putting on for us too, man. With the especially with
yeah,
the Universal Hip Hop Museum. Clientele,
wonderful.
Man, that's all I got, man.
Oh, good, good,
yeah,
great.
Shout
people.
Out to the homie Clientele. You know what I'm saying? Huge asset not only to our show here, but also the Universal Hip Hop Museum. I see him constantly putting in work. You know what I'm saying? Doing what he can. So, you know,
yes,
and share the sites. Share the pages, share the Kickstarter, share the actual website, and also go to ugsforlife.com. Check out our archive, over 250 shows. And also, if you want to help us, you want to continue to hear programming like you heard tonight, hit the donation page at our site as well. Like I said, $1, $2, whatever you can do will help out greatly. We definitely appreciate it. Paradise, thank you for coming on the show tonight, brother. I really appreciate it. Hell of an in-depth interview, and you gave a lot of good insight on what's going on over at the Universal Hip Hop Museum. Again, that's uhhm.org. Other than that, we're out of here, man. Thanks
Peace.
Again.
Peace.
We'll see
My
you guys
pleasure.
Soon. UGSforLife.com.
That's right. Check us out. UGS for Life. Yuck!
Oh, yeah, don't forget, this Saturday, episode 253, actually this Friday, we got MC Shan. He's going to be on. Make sure to check that out. And then Sunday, we're going to do a special episode, 254. It's the Seed, it's Ruthless Six. Actually, the sons of, members of NWA and the sons of 3-6 Mafia come together for an album. So we're going to check that out. So remember, UGSForLife.com, and don't forget, go to Universal Hip Hop Museum's website, UHHM.org. We're out of here. We'll see you guys soon.
That's right.